scripture.
And it came to pass that when they were praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Jump on to James 5 and 16, and the big portion of that says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to jump over to Luke 18 and 1. It says that men ought always pray and not faint. I'd like to use for a sermon topic today, if we can, prayer and the prayer. Prayer and the prayer. Pray with us, if you will. God, our Father, we thank you for this moment in time that only you can give. We know, God, that you have been in preparation with us, so we ask, God, that you move us, that your presence may be present. We cannot do it without you, so we stand in your place for you to use us, that your people might. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tear the from the
the waves and the currents that seem so fierce. But in the word of God, I've found an anchor. Guess what it does? It keeps me steadfast, unmovable. Just in case the wind keep on blowing, so it has been anchored in the Lord. That's for somebody. That's for somebody who knows. Let me set the scene for you. I can set the scene just because I grew up a certain way. Back in Lynchburg, South Carolina, where I grew up, in the suburbs of Lynchburg, South Carolina, we lived on the upper end of Lynchburg, South Carolina. I grew up in a Baptist church, and my daddy was a deacon there. He was the chairman of the deacon board, and every now and then when it was time for prayer, you would find my dad. He would go to his prayer seat, kind of over there where the deacons were sitting, and what he would do, I'm setting the stage for the video, because this was in the video. And there was a white-headed, gray-headed grandfather, grand deacon in the video. They'll get it for you. Y'all can go back and ask them whether it's on YouTube. But the deacon would get on one knee. The church, the deaconesses were sitting there in their white. And you would find the deacon there, and what he would be doing, he would bow his head. And he would pray, he would say, Most holy, and thou art God. It's once again that we've come here, knee bent and body bound. We come, Lord, thanking you for what you've done for us. Father, you've been mighty good to us, Lord. And we want to take the time out, Lord, to say thank you, Jesus. You brought us over hills, Lord, and you brought us over mountains. And for that, Lord, we want to say thank you. Lord, you helped us, Lord, over some rough times in our lives. But, Lord, we want to tell you thank you. We thank you, Lord, that our beds were not our cooling board. And for that, Lord, we want to tell you thank you. And now, Lord, we want to just tell you, Lord, that we love you, Lord. And please, Lord, we're asking now, God, that thou will send down your power. Send it on down, Lord. Send it on down. We need you, Lord. Your people need you. Stop by Sister Mary's house. Touch Sister Mary's children. Stop by Deacon Bowman's house. Touch all of his family. Do it in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There was something about those prayers. There was something that they connected to in those prayers. Some of you have not grown up in that time, so you don't really know what those prayers really were all about. Those prayers was the opportunity for them to connect the natural with the unnatural. That man in that video, that deacon, and I want you to see it one day, prayed himself happy. It was 12 minutes long. 12 minutes. Prayed himself happy, and then he prayed himself to tears was in his face. You see, that kind of prayer was the prayers that got Big Mama and Grandpa and Grandmama and great-great-grandmama and Auntie Nim and Uncle Nim. Those were the kind of prayers that got them through. Time when they had to steal away to pray. Times when they could be lynched if they were caught praying. You know, there was a time when our forefathers and our ancestors couldn't pray. If they got caught praying, they would find themselves in a dangerous place. They had to pass messages through their songs while they were in the cotton fields and to determine when was the time, what was the meeting place, where were we going to meet and pray hour. That was back in those days. While they were on their knees, they wanted to make sure that God could fill their souls and know that that which they were asking for, that only he could deliver. Only he could answer. Only he could move. Only he could lift. Only he could bring ease in a degrading, desolate, demoralizing, vicious, demonic, destruction, dangerous, and dismal time that our people were living in. They were being held against their will. But they still found time to pray. I tell you, beloved, that they knew what prayer could do. They learned patience. They didn't have any choice but to wait. They knew that you couldn't hurry God. You just have to wait on him. You had to trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes. They understood that he was a God that you could not hurry. But they were sure that he'll be there. Don't you worry, for he may not come when you want him, but they knew he was always on time. Anybody want to just clap your hands and understand that he's an on-time God? Yes, he is. Prayer and the prayer. It was a conversation that they knew God was listening to. They grew up on songs like, just keep on praying. For the Lord is nigh. Just keep on praying. He hears your cry, for the Lord has promised and his word is true. If you keep on praying, he will answer you. They never gave up on prayer. These prayers knew how to connect to the connector. Talking about your grandmamas and grandpapas and your great-grands, the ones who prayed for you even now. You wouldn't be sitting here unless somebody had not said a prayer for you. I pray now for my son, my grandson, and my daughter for 10, 15, 20, and 50 years from now, that when I'm long gone, some of my prayers will still be around. You understand? So when you can pray now, but you might need to put a prayer in to cover them when you're gone. But you don't know what this world is going to deal them when they get 30 and 40 and 50 and 70 years old from now. You don't know, so you better cover them with some prayer. The prayer knew. The prayer, they knew what it was and they knew what prayer was not. They knew that prayer wasn't smoke and mirrors, talking to a genie in a bottle. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. They knew better than that. Lord, I want this house. Lord, I want that car. I want this job. I need that hair. Can I have that dress? Please dress me up in that suit. I need this man, that woman. I want this top, that bottle. I mean, they want everything that they want. They want it. They want it. I want it. I want it. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. They knew that prayer was not about just asking for things. There's a big difference between now and then. You know, we pray for so much stuff now that when we get it, we realize that it was no good for us anyway. And then we start praying, Lord, please take it back. Lord, I really didn't mean to get this hair color. Lord, I really didn't mean to put these eyelashes on because they really got my eyes. I can't really see. I've got to get some surgery. Lord, I don't realize. I really didn't need this much up top, and I certainly didn't need that much in the bottom. So why is it that some folk just ask for stuff that you just really just don't need? You really didn't need the house that you're living in because now you can't afford it. I really can't afford the car that I'm driving because the taxes are too high. We ask for some more stuff. We ask for stuff that you just really don't. Be careful what you ask for. Because you just might get what you're asking for. Thank God for Jesus. There's a big difference. There's a direct relationship I want you to know between the prayer and the prayer. Oh, yeah, I like this message. There's a difference. You see, the prayer knew that prayer was about communicating with God. They knew that prayer was about relationship with God. They knew that it was about trust in God, hope in God, and a promise that only God could fulfill. They knew that just a little talk with Jesus made everything all right. They talked to him about, Lord, keep me. Keep my family. Keep my mind. Hold me, Lord. Protect me, Lord. Preserve me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. We need you to stay close to us. Never leave us, Lord. Don't let them destroy us. Keep that dirty, nasty, no good Satan away from us. We need you, God, to survive. That's what they knew what prayer was really all about. They didn't care about things. They cared about just maintaining a place of peace. Prayers, hers, were connected. Well, if you hadn't been paying attention, we're living in a time now where we need prayer more than we ever needed prayer before. So much that if we're going to fight the devils that we are fighting with now, the only thing in this world that's going to fight these devils is going to be prayer. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can't beat them with your own self. You're going to have to fall down on your knees. And prayer is the only thing. And mama and daddy used to say when you need a prayer, you need somebody who knows the word of prayer to pray for us. Now, I'm going to shock you. And it may not be a shock, but everybody who's praying ain't qualified. I know what you're thinking. But everybody who offers a prayer ain't qualified. But the good news is that you can qualify. Well, how can you qualify? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to stop by for about 10 more minutes and tell you what it's going to take. That I found in God's word that was so very simple to me that a lot of times we miss stuff because we think the Bible is too complex. But how? I'm calling all prayer warriors. We need prayer. Let me tell you why. The political climate that we are in now may be far worse now than in those days when they were hiding behind the sheets. They ain't hiding anymore. There's a bold devil moving now. Anybody? I mean, you better look around and see what's going on. They don't mind if you see their faces. Oh, they don't mind. We got a bold devil. They're in plain view. But you know what's going to win? It's prayer. But we got to get the prayers qualified. If there ever was a time, beloved, now. When we have a temporary occupant in the White House that's more concerned about discrediting women for the sake of putting a man on the highest court in the land who has been accused of abusing women, we need prayer. When the same occupant can legislate policies to separate mothers from their children, and when we spend as taxpayers millions of dollars to ensure that his wife goes home with her child every night, we need prayer. And the same occupant, yeah, I'm staying on the occupant. There's some bold movements. Satan is a bold. And the same occupant just last month in October called for a renewed policy on stop and frisk in New York City and now wants to do it in Chicago. Now, you know that targets our black boys and our black men just for walking down the street, not doing anything, not bothering anybody. But now he's trying to legislate where it's just all right if you look like you're out of place. We need prayer. When a network can dismiss a lady from a high-paying job and she could, that made a casual statement about wearing a blackface when she was growing up, and then they turn around and give her $40+ million just to go home and sit down, I'm telling you, we need prayer. But we got to get the prayers in position to offer these prayers. Yeah, because everybody, I'm telling you, everybody is not qualified like you should, but you can be. Yeah, when up is down and down is up, when the in is out and out is in and right is wrong and wrong is right, we need prayer. Anything goes. Just look around you and see where things are happening. We need prayer. And you've got churches all over the land and all over the country that are gathered now, and this is the most separated time in the country. Because everybody has their own agendas, even in the church. When you got one church that want to do it their way and then criticize another church because they do it that way and they don't get up the way you get up. They don't clap the way you clap. They don't pray the way we pray. You going to criticize the way they come in. We need prayer. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you? Because you sit in here and we are so comfortable. Understand the fact that churches have got to start uniting. But oh, what a broad statement that has such a hard task. But why is it so hard when we just call on the one that everybody's calling him by his name? They're pleading, God. Oh, it's supposed to be what's going on, and I'm not denying that there are places in this world, in this country, churches that are gathered, that are unified in their spirit. Even though they're not unified in one place, they are praying to the same God. Could you imagine? You remember just a couple weeks ago. Could you imagine how many prayers went up when the lottery was $1.6 billion? Oh, some of y'all was in there. I had my ticket, too. Look here, I promised the Lord a lot of stuff, that I was going to bless some people, that I was going to take some folk with me. Lord, if you just let me have the money, I promise you I was going to be a good steward. Oh, anybody pray that prayer? Oh, if it hurts, you ought to say, ouch. Oh, I had my ticket. Oh, yeah, John, we had our ticket with John Dublin. We had our ticket. Wesley, we had our ticket. We was on our way to Florida, and we said we might as well get the ticket because, you know, folk win when they're passing through. Oh, you might as well come on and tell somebody. Could you imagine what kind of prayer if we all was on the same accord and we were praying to God as many folk that was a praying to God at that time. Oh, Lord. But everybody who offers a prayer is not connected. Everybody who calls on his name cannot get his attention. Everybody who say that they're praying, I promise you that everybody can't get a prayer through. But thank God for Jesus, who can make everything possible, who can give you everything you need if you are trying to get a prayer through. That's why you can't ask everybody to pray for you. You better be very selective in who you ask to pray for you, because everybody ain't qualified to offer a prayer. You need to find some folk who got some scars, that have been through something. And age don't always mean that they're qualified. You understand? But I found a little nugget here in the scripture, here in the Bible, that helped me connect the prayer and the prayer. You know, sometimes God reveals his secret codes right in the Word. And all you have to do really every now and then is just pick it up. You'll be surprised what you'll find if every now and then you'll just pick it up. But I found a little nugget here, something God revealed to me. The Bible says this, is that after he ceased praying, his disciples asked, "Master, teach us to pray." Very simple. "Master, teach us." They simply made a request. After they were sitting in his presence and he was praying, that after he stopped praying, the very first thing that one of the disciples asks is, "Master, teach us to pray." I want you to put a quarter in the meat. I'm going to come back on teachers. Because I understood what they were suggesting or what they were asking at that time, but God gave me another revelation. Just walk with me, if you will. But before you ask, here's the qualifier. The next one says this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Can I break it down? Now, here's again is when I was supposed to have my video, but you're going to have to imagine the word. So I want to break this down for you, okay? Effectual. You know, and most of us know the word, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. But can I break it down for you, the effectual? I looked up effectual, and the effectual simply suggests this. It's successful in producing a desired or intended result. Effectual. Successful in producing a desired or intended result. All right, let me break it down a little further. An action that has an expected end. An action that will produce a greatly anticipated result long before the action even begins. Let me say it again. An action that will produce a greatly anticipated result long before the action even begins. Effectual.
Break it on further.
Because before you even lift a prayer, it already possesses the power for success. Can I say it again? Effectual. Successful in producing a desired or intended result. That's the action that has to take place. And it simply says, because before you even lift your prayer, it already possesses the power for success. Before, based on what's happening before you even get down on your knees, your prayer already possesses power. This is qualifying the prayer and the prayer. Prayer. Effectual. Next word is fervent. Fervent. Fervent is very simple. It says having a passionate intensity. Sincere. Fervent. Just being sincere. Just a good heart. Sincere. That's talking about the prayer. And then righteous. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Righteous. Righteous simply means morally right. Justifiable. Standing, decent, right in the head will mess you up, but right in your heart. See, God ain't so interested in you always being right. He more concerned with you being righteous, because you know everything that you know, you've been around folk who just think they're right about everything. I mean, they know it all, they got it all, and they're right about everything, but they're right in their head, but they have no righteousness in your heart. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous, it had nothing to do with your head and what you know. It has to do with what your heart and what you feel. Last word says, avail. Helps or benefits. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. So here's my summary. I was going to have it up, but I'm going to give it to you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A prayer that possesses the power, when offered up with passion and sincerity from a justified person, will produce much. I'm going to say it again just in case you missed it. I want you to catch up with me. I'm going to have it where you can write it down, but I can, you can come to me later on. A prayer that possesses the power, when offered up with passion and sincerity from a justified person, will produce much. No power, no produce. You need power in your prayers if you want to produce something. But oh my God, have mercy. Go back to the pen that I told you to stick a pen in it. When the disciples asked him, they said, Master, teach us to pray. I'm not so sure that they knew what they were asking him. The first thing that came to my mind is when my dad and my mama would tell me, say, boy, didn't I tell you to do this? But you didn't. Boy, didn't I tell you to go here, but you went somewhere else? I'm going to have to teach you a lesson. A hard head. Oh, come on, fill in the blank. A hard head makes a... Anybody ever heard your mom and daddy tell you that boy, girl, a hard head is going to make a soft mouth? Come on, tell me somebody that he said he had to teach me a lesson. So when the disciples said, Master, teach us to pray. Watch it. Some lessons are better learned when some pain is associated with it. Oh, God have mercy. Some of the best lessons you're going to learn in this life is things that you got to go through when you got some pain. You want power in your prayer? You're going to have to go through something. You you're going to have to bear your banners in the heat of the day. If you want your prayer to produce something, you're going to have to walk through the fire. God teaches us to offer sincere prayer through our pain, through our struggles, through our suffering, through our mishaps, through our missteps, through our mistakes. God is building your prayer to make you a prayer, so that you can be qualified, so that when you get down on your knees, that which you're praying for already possesses an end result, which means that you might get what you're asking for. Yeah. You want somebody to pray for you? You want somebody to do something for you? You need to find somebody who has been struggling. Find somebody who has gone through some stuff. Find somebody who's bear some burdens. Find somebody who's been crying all night long. Find somebody who's been sick on their bed of affliction. Find somebody who don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for them. Find somebody who's down to that last dime. Find somebody who went through and that's coming through. If you want somebody to pray for you, you're going to have to find somebody that's got some scars on them. You hear what I'm saying? You can't make it on the journey with folk that's got pity-patty prayers. Folk that ain't been through nothing. Folk who don't know what tomorrow. You got to find some folk that's been through some stuff. And if you find yourself going through something in your life right now, if you find yourself in the midst of a tragedy, you find yourself in the midst of a difficult time, you need to thank God, because he's just building your prayer, that your prayer, it's going to catch up and it's going to offer you something. Do you hear what I'm trying to suggest to you? Don't worry about the burdens all the time. God is preparing you for something. Prayer. We need prayer. Do you understand that we need it? But it comes at a cost. So prayer comes with a cost. You want your prayer to get through? You're going to have to give up something. You understand? Some of us don't want to give up nothing. We want to ask God for everything and don't want to give him one thing. You're going to have to give up some stuff if you want your prayer. God is building prayers in this world that we live in. God needs everybody in here to be qualified. And notice I say that everybody can qualify. I didn't negate anybody. I didn't suggest that there's no way possible for you to become a good prayer or a prayer that can produce power. I say that everybody in here, from the child to the oldest person, can qualify. But you are going to have to go through some stuff to get your prayer. Find somebody who done been through something. Look around you. Oh, I know a bunch of folk that's been through something. Huh? Find somebody that's been through something. I'm going to stand here. I found me somebody. Deacon Nesfar told me that when her husband had that last stroke, she prayed all the way to Charleston and almost missed her exit. But by the time they got to Charleston and the doctor saw what was going on, they didn't even see any sign. Don't you told me you better find somebody that know what prayer can do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I found my mama. She's been praying 49 years. Lord, please send my child home. Please let me get to him. He may not come when you want him, but you better trust him that he's always on time. You better find somebody that has gone through some stuff. If you don't know, just look around there. Somebody's on your road that's been through something. I'm going to find me another person. Find somebody here. Sister Boutte's daughter, struggling. Don't know if life is going to last, but she kept on praying. God is going to deliver. I believe that God is going to find. You want somebody to pray for you? Find somebody that can get a prayer through. You got to find some friends. You got to find some folk who done been through some stuff, who done lost somebody. You want to find somebody that can pray for you? I want you to look at this young lady here. Lost her husband a few years ago, but comes in church every Sunday giving God praise. You want to find somebody that can get a prayer through? Find them. Find them. Find them. Find them. You want to find somebody? Won't God deliver you from cancer? Over and over again, you want to find somebody that can get a prayer through. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Huh? You better look around. You better try to find somebody that can get a prayer through. For I know what prayer can do. I trust and I believe in what he said. I know what prayer can do. God will answer prayer. You got to connect to the prayer. Dr. Parker knows what prayer can do. He's been up. He's been down. But he's still standing. And one of the most respected doctors in this country, he knows, had folk betray him in his own office. But God knows what prayer can do. You better find somebody that know how to get a prayer through. Baby girl, you're going to be all right because you got a father who knows what prayer can do. Don't you worry about your ankle. You're going to play soccer again. God will do what he said. I know what I'm talking about. And God knows.